This is Morgantown AM with Kay Murray and Jim Stallings on WAJR. Stay with us for the talk of the town. We're talking about Morgantown area news and talking to the people in our community. You can join the conversation this hour by phone at 304-296-0041. Twitter at Morgantown AM, on Facebook and through email. Visit Kay and Jim at WAJR.com. Now, let's get started. It's Morgantown AM with Kay and Jim on WAJR.
3,452 miles all on foot from one coast of the country all the way to the other side. Jamie Summerlin ran across the country for the Wounded Warrior Project. And the last thing I asked him, I think he was standing on the beach in Rehoboth, Delaware. What are you going to do now? Or maybe it was the post-interview once he got back to Morgantown. But now we know what he's been doing since he finished his run across the country. Jamie is in studio this morning. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. When did you run across the country? When was the trip?
It was March 26th. It was when I started in Coos Bay, Oregon of 2012 and finished on July 4th at Annapolis and then went on to the finish in July 6th.
So you've been, have you had help writing a book?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I spent the past 6 months, you know, putting everything down on paper, you know, going through it and worked with the co-author Matt Brand over at WVU to help me kind of take the West Virginia out of my writing, if you will. And it was a labor of love. It was almost as exhausting writing the book, honestly, as it was doing the run.
I mean, how did you lay out the book? Did you decide to start with how the idea was born and then your steps and stops across the country?
Yeah, one of the things that we really wanted to get across in the book was the idea that, you know, anybody can do something if they put their mind to it. For me, I started off really kind of from my childhood, you know, and honestly talking about the fact that I wasn't a very athletic person growing up, you know, wasn't participating in a lot of sports, wasn't running. I mean, we didn't have track, you know, or cross country, you know, where I was at. So it was just one of those things that I never had gotten into. But I found that it became a passion of mine as I got older, and I wanted to take what I'd learned to do in that regard and use it to give back. And so we really wanted to kind of lay that groundwork, and then we went through the journey, not day by day, but really wanted to hit the highlights and the stories of the journey across the country.
So you weren't very athletic there in Braxton County. Is that where you're talking about?
Yeah. You know, I played a little basketball. You know, I was always too short and too small for football. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I accepted and you know, went with it.
So why did you decide to join the United States Marine Corps?
Because I was too small to do anything else, you know. I talk in the book about the fact that, you know, I kind of had this vision, you know, if I was going to go in the service, I tell everybody I spent 18 years trying to get out of the state and 10 trying to get back. You know, the military was a great option for me at that time. And I figured, you know, what better service to go into than the Marine Corps? You know, at that point, I figured they'd make a man out of me, if you will. And it was one of the greatest experiences that I've ever had in my life.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Semper Fi.
There's no former Marines.
That's true.
And so what point do you think that you decided that you wanted to raise money for veterans or give back to veterans in some way?
Well, as I tell everybody, I ran my first marathon just a little over 3 years ago in Richmond, Virginia in 2009. And at that point, I'd had a little inspiration from a very close friend of mine that I talk about in the book to do that run. And there was a number of reasons behind it. One, I wanted to just get into better shape. Two, you know, I was the dad sitting on the sidelines kind of watching my kids grow up and be involved in events and things. And I didn't want to be the dad on the sidelines watching them. I wanted to be a part of it. So I took the challenge on, ran the race, did well, and started, you know, finding more and more events to be a part of like that. And as I did, a lot of the groups that I ran with, I realized they were doing some good things in their communities. You know, I ran the Deckers Creek, you know, half marathon here and the support they were doing there. And, you know, a lot of fundraising that was going on. And so I thought, well, my wife and I are both Marine Corps veterans. You know, what an opportunity I've got here to be able to support our vets and, you know, really raise awareness for them.
You're still running almost every day. And if people don't see you running the Morgantown streets, it's because by the time I'm here at 6 a.m., it seems you've already run for the day.
Yeah, you know, I still continue to move forward. You'd ask me what I was going to do next. I really, when I stuck my feet in the ocean in Rehoboth Beach, it wasn't the finish, it was only the beginning. You know, we wanted to take what we had done at that point and really build upon it. And so after a little recovery time when I got back, I started getting back involved in running again and took what we had learned over that period and started working with the great organization here in Morgantown, Operation Welcome Home, to help support our veterans here locally, you know, in the area. And it's been a tremendous opportunity for me to be able to use a passion that I've got for running to continue to raise awareness and support our vets through that.
So proceeds from the sale of the book, Freedom Run, will go towards?
Operation Welcome Home, absolutely.
And what's that about?
The organization is based out of Morgantown here, and our sole purpose is to support veterans no matter what branch you served in, when you served, whether it's wartime or peacetime. All veterans are welcome into the organization. It's a facility that we have out at Milan Park. It was designed and built to where you felt like you were a part of a family and you were in a home. You weren't registering at a registration desk when you walked in. You weren't another number. We just wanted to be a place for veterans and by veterans. And we offer a number of programs through that, including Veterans on Call, which provides temporary employment for vets, whether they're on hard times, whether they're just getting out of the military, you know, some transitional opportunities for them. We have Camo to Cap, which supports veterans in higher education, providing supplies, school supplies and things to them as necessary, giving the community an opportunity to give back. You know, it's a place for, you know, all veterans to be able to come to. We have our Marine Corps League meetings over there. There's other organizations that are starting to meet over there. We just wanted it to be a place where vets felt comfortable around one another, because that a lot of times is where most of our support's going to come from. We understand each other, and it's easy for us to have those conversations.
So I always thought there was kind of some friendly animosity between the Marines and the United States Army. But I see that Jessica Lynch wrote your foreword, so I guess that's all smoothed out now.
Well, you know, you always have that angst, I guess. But, you know, it's a lot of times in fun, but quite honestly, we all laced our boots up the same way. And we all serve this great country, and no matter what branch you serve in or when you serve, you're a veteran or current military member of the United States military, and you deserve the honor and respect that we can give you.
Well, more on the point, I was talking about Jessica Lynch writing your foreword for the book, but also a pretty famous Olympian has also read your book.
Yeah, Jim Ryan, former U.S. congressman and Olympian and world record holder, he provided a byline for the book, and you know, was very encouraged and excited to be able to have him participate in that. Of course, Jessica's forward was something that was very special to me, and I felt, you know, very honored to have her included, you know, to be able to give support to it.
All right, so I remember a lot of aspects of the trip because we were able to contact you as you were running across the country. And Coos Bay, Oregon, is that where you started off?
Yes, sir. Sunset Bay is just outside of Coos Bay at the ocean there. My wife is from Coos Bay. Marshfield is a sister town, so it's kind of like Saberton to Morgantown, if you will. Marshfield's where Steve Prefontaine was from, for those that remember him from the early 70s, Olympian and, you know, famous runner at that time. So it's kind of a way to pay homage to her and to Pre as well, and you know, it was something that we wanted to do to honor, you know, my wife, and really starting over there.
You got an RV and you packed your family up. You drove across the country to Oregon. I remember you went through a snowstorm on the way there, and I'm thinking, you know, what's this guy doing? I mean, I understand it's crazy enough to run across the country, but you're going to find some foul weather along the way. Did you find some foul weather when you were running back?
We hit every possible weather pattern you can imagine besides a tornado, and tornadoes were on both sides of us in Kansas, so I was very fortunate to miss out on any of that. But we had everything from snow, where snow drifts were taller than the RV out in Oregon, to rain, sleet, hail. There was, you know, I had hail coming down on the RV that was, you know, dime sized, you know, at one point I was out running in. We had heat. Of course, you remember when we came through West Virginia last year, it was right before the derecho had hit. And then, of course, that hit us when we were out in the panhandle. And so I spent those last few days. There was a phone call you and I had as I was going into D.C., and I was breaking up real bad, even though I was in a, you know, heavily populated area, because I was stepping over power lines. I mean, it was just, it was crazy. And then, of course, that final day, the final 100 miles from Annapolis to Rehoboth Beach, it was over 100 degrees from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock that afternoon. I'm on freshly blacktopped road, and I'm running on the white line to keep my feet cooler, you know, on the paint, because the pavement was, you know, so unbearably hot. 9 gallons of Gatorade and a whole watermelon I went through that day.
So. It was just hot going from this building to the car. I mean, it was stifling humidity, and that Washington, D.C. area gets some high heat and humidity, and that just I thought about you and thought, man, that is tough. Yeah. And also, you know, it was tough going up the Rockies, I think, for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, obviously I had that injury there at the beginning where, you know, I very fortunate to have all the support and encouragement
that
we had.
What kind of injury did you have?
I was headed up to Diamond Lake in Oregon. I went from Steamboat Inn to Diamond Lake, and the last 25 miles of the run that day, I went from an elevation of 1,000 feet to just under 5,300 feet. So 4,300 feet, you know, of gain straight up the mountain. It's pouring the rain down. It's cold. I just wanted to get the run done. I trained a lot for this, but I didn't have any way to mimic, you know, a run like that here in West Virginia. So as I got to the top of the mountain, my left shin was pretty beat up. I mean, I was in a lot of pain at that point. Woke up the next morning, and it was swollen up pretty bad. And so I spent the next few days walking that out. My 6 to 8 hour days quickly went to 12 and 13 hour days at that point, pouring the snow down. I couldn't see a quarter mile in front of me at one point. It was snowing so bad. And we were doing a lot of driving back and forth, you know, because I had events in Klamath Falls that we needed to get to that were scheduled. And, of course, I had no break days set up. So it was you had to recover and go the next day. Well, I was getting behind in my miles a little bit, so I would have to stop at one point, drive up to Klamath Falls to do the event. The next morning, we would have to drive back to my stop point and fill that gap in because I didn't want somebody, you know, at the end of this to say, well, he didn't go all the way. You know, he had some blank spots in there. We traveled back and forth to make sure that I covered those miles. And a few days into it, I talk about it in the book, you know, was able to get over the injury finally, was about 28 miles behind at that point of schedule. But we got over that, and within about 10 days, I was right back on schedule again, and we made it the rest of the way with no problems.
I think some people were kind to you as far as lodging goes, too. Did you stay at a place called Stillwaters or something?
It was Steamboat Inn is where
Steamboat
it was at.
Inn,
yeah. And so we had a number of folks that, you know, reached out to us and helped us out along the way. It was nice to get out of the, as my kids referred to it, the box on wheels at times. You know, it went from traveling across the country to living in the RV to staying in the box on wheels. I mean, they were ready to get out of it when we got back. But it was certainly great to have a lot of the support that we did from folks. We spent 7 or 8 days total in hotels and things. The rest of the time it was an RV, you know, whether it was a city park or a campground or boondocking in a Walmart parking lot. I mean, you know, we took advantage of what we had.
But the RV was wrapped. And what was it wrapped? What did it say to identify what you were doing to people who were passing by?
The whole side of the RV, the back and the front, it said Running for Wounded Warriors. And I tell you, Jim, that made it really special for us because my wife and I experienced the journey in completely different ways. Obviously, I'm out on the road 5 miles an hour, 1 mile at a time. You know, I'd talk to people every once in a while. But if she was in the RV and she would be pulled over, you know, before she caught up to me, people would stop by and they would ask what we were doing, and then they would spend the next 20 minutes telling stories of family members who had served, of their own service, or even of their children that were serving now, and just it became an outlet for them. And so that's why we really wanted to get that story out, you know, to be able to share some of the experiences that we had, because I think it was important for people to understand that there's a ton of support for our veterans out there. No matter what, you know, your feelings are about the war and everything, our men and women are serving us honorably and bravely every day, and we love them, and we want to take care of them and support them, and we wanted to make sure they understood that.
Tell us about the town that really embraced you maybe a third of the way through your run.
That was Imperial, Nebraska. We had come in that evening, and if you followed me online, you could tell at times a lot of the stop points and start points we had were just intersections. We mapped this out for well over a year, planning the logistics, and sometimes we were out in the middle of nowhere, so we just needed a start and stop point where we could, you know, find a side road that we knew where we could start the next morning. That happened the night before I got into Imperial. I came in, and we were at an intersection. There was a big, long silo station there. A young man had come up on his four-wheeler, and I asked him if we could stay that night, you know, there in the lot. He said, sure, no problem. His dad came over a little bit later, you know, invited us over. I took my kids for a horseback ride. I mean, it was just a great experience for them. Well, the next morning, I start running towards Imperial. I'm about 15 miles out. And I get 5 miles out of town, and a truck pulls up in front of me, and out jumps the mayor of Imperial, a town of about 2,000 people, which actually is the Corvette capital of the world, I found out. Ownership of Corvettes in America.
Highest Corvette ownership per capita.
Yeah, there you go. So it was crazy. But anyways, he jumps out, and he says, one of my council members told me you stayed in his lot last night. We're going to see what we can put together for you before you come into town. Well, it was Mother's Day morning on a Sunday, and, you know, it's late Sunday morning. Church is letting out. I get to the edge of town. Two young men run out to meet me. They're cross-country members from the local high school. And we go around the corner, and there's a fire truck, a police car, an ambulance, motorcycles. Within an hour, the mayor had gathered a whole group of people there to escort me all the way through town. And as we're driving through, or as we're running through, it was pretty cool because there were cars pulling over the side of the road that, you know, people getting out of church, whatever, people coming out on their porches waving American flags at us whenever we were going through. It was one of the most surreal experiences I had, but it really showed the true American spirit. People ask me what I was most surprised about on the run. I say it wasn't really a surprise. It was a reaffirmation, if you will, of the true American spirit and people supporting us on the run.
Where was it where some Marine Corps friends of you surprised you along the route?
That happened a few times. As a matter of fact, when I started in Oregon, I had a couple of friends that I hadn't seen in 15 years. And all of these, you know, I'd been removed from the Marine Corps 15 years by this point. So all of the time that I saw these folks was about the same time period. But there, and then, of course, outside of St. Louis, whenever we came through just prior to Memorial Day and us speaking, some Marines had driven up from Dallas, Texas to meet us for a day. And then, of course, on day 99, there's a photo in the book. As I run to the Marine Corps Memorial, I go up and I'm just obviously in tears, you know, very emotional about being there in front of the memorial and almost completed with this run. And a young man runs up and jumps in front of me, just a little boy, maybe 3 or 4 years old. And he says, hi. And, you know, of course, I'm out of it anyways. But I look down and I say hi. And I, out of the corner of my eye, I look out and there comes Bart Ingleston, who was one of my best friends in the Marine Corps. My wife had set up with him and his family to come down from New York and be there whenever I arrived. And it was one of the most emotional experiences that I had, because it really showed, you know, that camaraderie and the friendships that we have and, you know, all the support we had online. But for people to make the sacrifice they did to come be there and be a support, you know, process of this was great for me.
One of the funny things I remember is your children bailing on you.
Yeah. They were supposed to get picked up in Huntington whenever we came into West Virginia. And as I said, they were really ready to get out of the RV within, you know, the first, oh, well, 90
They were
days.
Ready to get out of the box on wheels.
Right. And so
probably felt like a matchbox by that time.
Yeah, and you know, it was really cool experience for us as a family, because we really were with them 24/7, especially my wife. I mean, you know, she was there with them constantly, but my parents had surprised them by coming down to Frankfort, Kentucky, and picking them up when we came in that day a week early. The kids were very excited, but for the next couple of days, I'll be honest, I was really out of sorts, because I was so used to our experiences and our, you know, routine we got into. I'd step out of the RV to start my run, my next leg. We'd always fist bump, you know, we'd always, you know, say I love you, you know, and then I'd take off. And I didn't have that for, you know, those first couple of, well, I didn't have it for a couple of weeks, but those first couple of days, it just got me out of my routine, which was kind of difficult to get through. But it was something that they needed to, you know, be away from us for a while, especially.
Rehoboth Beach has pretty much a main street with shops on both sides, and parallel to the ocean shore is a boardwalk. Did you go up through that? Did you go over the boardwalk and onto the sand and go right up to the water on the very end?
Yeah, there's
what were your thoughts at that time?
Well, you know, I'd ran. It's funny because we had mapped out the 100-mile run. I could have been to Rehoboth in 76 miles from Annapolis if I'd have just taken the straight route. But because of the 100 days, the 100-mile races being, for ultra runners, you know, the ultimate races, I wanted to do the 100 miles. So I actually went south towards Ocean City and came up across Dewey Beach, you know, up over the bridge and then into Rehoboth. And as I came in, you know, I'm on 24 hours of straight running here, the 100 miles. I was probably in a dead sprint at about a 9.5 or 10-minute pace. I mean, I was hurting. But
so you're running parallel to the ocean to Rehoboth.
For the last 10 miles, I'm listening to the ocean, but I needed to get that 100 miles in, you know. And so, it was kind of unnerving thinking.
And this is in the middle of the night, isn't it?
Yeah, five o'clock in the morning, you know, as I was coming in. So I ran up. We made that turn onto that little drag strip right there, you know, as you come in across the boardwalk. I made the turn, ran across the boardwalk, ran right out onto the beach, kicked my shoes off, and right into the ocean I went. I just stood there. I didn't want to jump in, you know, chafing in the salt water and all that. You know, I didn't want to mess anything up there. But it's what I start the book out with. Standing there with my feet in the ocean, looking back at my wife, thinking to myself, what did we just do? You know, here 100 days ago, we were standing on the other end of this beautiful country, getting ready to start this journey to honor our men and women. What an amazing experience it's been.
We're going to be back with Jamie Summerlin in just a moment after the break. The book is called Freedom Run, a 100-day, 3,452-mile journey across America to benefit wounded veterans. We'll tell you more about the book, how you can get one, coming up in just a moment on WAJR. Speaking of fitness, Jamie.
Moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. That's amore.
That's right. It's Casa di Amici time here on Morgantown AM on WAJR. And, of course, at Casa di Amici, they are noted for their fresh ingredients. There are brick ovens, four brick ovens. I talk about the pizza a lot because I love the pizza. The hand-tossed crust of the Neapolitan is one of my favorites. But the special cheeses and the tomato sauce that they make there, they don't pour it out of a can. But they also have some ideas that you might want to check out for lunch today, like the Heroes, the House of Friends Heroes. Their signature Heroes, the area's largest, sure to fill the biggest appetite for lunch today. If you want to add fries, you can do that from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. These Heroes are available, like the Grilled Chicken Hero. Grilled chicken breast with crispy lettuce, sliced tomatoes, with an added blend of oil and vinegar. You can even have that blackened if you wish, if you like it New Orleans style. The Julius Caesar Chicken Hero. Breaded chicken breast with crispy lettuce, juicy red onions covered in a blend of Pomano, that's probably Romano, and mozzarella cheese. Served with Casa's own version of Caesar's dressing on a toasted bun. Add a touch of Italy to your Caesar at Casa di Amici. I'm going to give you the phone number because they do deliver. 292-4400, 304-292-4400, Casa di Amici, located at 485 High Street in downtown Morgantown.
Extremely dry, itchy skin needs intensive relief that lasts. So get Goldbond Intensive Healing Cream. With two dedicated medicines, it targets the underlying causes of itch and irritation, whether they be allergies, rashes, irritation, or just dry, chapped skin. And it has seven moisturizers to provide relief that lasts and lasts. Goldbond Intensive Healing Cream. Intensive healing for lasting itch relief. Use as directed.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon.
It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
This is exciting, folks. I want to welcome my friends at Mahindra Tractors to the show. Now, if you own land, the most important purchase you can make is a reliable tractor. So I want to steer you to Mahindra Tractors. Get this. 98% of their owners would recommend a Mahindra to a friend. No wonder Mahindra is the world's number one selling tractor. You know, Mahindra started back in 1945 making Jeeps for American GIs overseas. How's that for a history of reliability? Today, Mahindra tractors are assembled right here in America and are backed by a 5-year powertrain warranty. So check out the world's number one selling tractor at MahindraUSA.com.
Take advantage of rock-bottom prices and great financing on a new Mahindra, the world's number one selling tractor. To find your local dealer and test drive a Mahindra, please visit MahindraUSA.com.
When life is altered so dramatically by illness and injury, when everyday activities become extraordinary tasks, there's Sundale, a haven of privacy and comfort during rehabilitation. I'm Donna Tennant, Director of Admissions, and if you or a loved one is in need of rehabilitative care, Sundale's experienced therapists offer hands that heal, a spirit that encourages, and medical expertise that works. Experts agree that early intervention is the key to any program. Sundale. In our care, yet close to home.
Morgantown AM with Kay Murray and Jim Stallings continues on WAJR. We're checking our Twitter feed at Morgantown AM, looking at your posts on Facebook, all while talking and drinking too much coffee. Call Kay and Jim now at 304-296-0041.
Mike Wood of Freedom Kia has challenged me, and I've graciously accepted. How could I not? Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. All right, let our listeners know what you would like me to do with Freedom Kia, this challenge.
I want you to take a test drive, Jim, in the all-new 2014 Kia Sorento SX Limited version with all the bells and whistles, and give me some feedback after driving it for a week.
So that's all you want is feedback?
Well, I want you to buy the car, Jim.
Yeah.
But yeah, some feedback would be good, because I think it's going to wow you with all the stuff that a Kia really can offer.
What do you think is going to wow me with this Kia?
Well, all the amenities, Jim. Some of the basic stuff that comes with it is the leather interior, the optional third row seat package you can get, the power lift gate in the rear, folding mirrors, heated seats, cooled glove box, a lot more stuff than you think of when you think of Kia.
A lot of people like a decent low monthly payment. So if I was going to get a Sorento, buy one today, what kind of monthly payment could I get?
Oh, you can get a Sorento for as low as $299 a month, Jim, if you're just looking at a basic model one. But you could even lease this one that I'm talking about for $399 a month, loaded with all the amenities.
But everybody also likes the warranty that you offer. And so with an Optima or a Sorento, what kind of warranties are we talking about?
All have a 5-year 60,000 and 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain, plus 5-year roadside assistance, so you don't need AAA in case something were to happen. But that's just peace of mind buying from any Kia that you get.
Now, I'm not going to be picky about the color that you offer me in this Sorento challenge, but I know that anybody is interested in any color, you got a big selection of choices.
Yeah, huge selection, Jim. Between the two stores, with the one in Clarksburg as well, we have over 500 cars, new and used. So we've got something for everybody at the two locations.
And tell us about your new dealership you're opening in Uniontown.
Hey, yeah, just opened up last week, Jim. It's the new Mike Wood Toyota of Uniontown. We're just getting squared away, but you'll hear lots more about it. We'll be advertised on the radio, TV, lots of stuff to be said about here in the coming future.
All right, Mike, thanks so much, and I look forward to driving one of your cars.
Thanks, Jim.
And I'll give you some great feedback on it as well. If you want to shop online, go to freedomkia.net for details. Jamie Summerlin in the studio with me right now. You did you run in the Pittsburgh Marathon?
I did. Yeah, you know, last weekend I was out at the Grand Canyon and did what's called a rim-to-rim-to-rim run. So flew in Friday. Saturday ran from the south rim to the north rim and back in a day. And then yesterday did the Pittsburgh Marathon. And it was pretty cool to be at that marathon yesterday. They do a great job with it. 30,000 participants at this race yesterday for both the half and the full. A lot of troops lined up alongside, you know, working detail and stuff like that. And every one of them I passed, you know, stopped, you know, give them a high five, you know, thank them for their service. I mean, that's why I continue to do what I'm doing, you know, to give them the honor for it. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
All right. Now tell us, when will the book be available, and where can we find one?
You can actually pick the book up now. It is available at Barnes & Noble here in Morgantown. It's on their front shelves when you first walk in the facility. You can order it online at freedomrunusa.com. We have links there to online sales of it. We'd really love for people to be out this Saturday. We have a book signing event that's going to be going on at the Barnes & Noble at the University Town Center in Granville. That'll be at 4 p.m., from 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Certainly want to get folks out there. I think it's a great book, you know, for Father's Day coming up, you know, for someone that's in your family, in the military, the running community, anyone who just likes, you know, reading, hopefully, very inspirational stories where, you know, as I try to get people to understand, dream big. You know, you can do anything you set your mind to if you really, you know, really go after it.
Besides continuing to run for fun and also selling books, what else are you doing?
Well, my full-time job, I'm actually a business development manager for PuroClean here in Morgantown. It's kind of funny. It's a perfect marriage, if you will. We do a lot of, you know, where our job is emergency response services for fire and water damage, you know, mold, trauma, things like that. The owner, John Woods, he and I have known each other for a really long time. we're there to help people, and you know, whenever they need it the most. And for me, he gives me the flexibility to be able to continue to support our troops and do the things that I'm doing in that regard. It makes it an easy sell because our guys are very passionate about what they do, and I love being a part of that organization.
Well, I'm going to ask you to stick around so you can help me interview another author.
Absolutely.
From here in Morgantown. It's not the same kind of book. I'm not trying to promote competing books here, because his book, I'm talking about Mike Martin, he's 28 years old. The End Games is a young adult thriller about two brothers, ages 17 and 5, braving a monster-filled apocalypse in the coal towns and capital of West Virginia.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him coming up next. You're listening to Morgantown AM on WAJR.
Good morning.
Why so good?
McDonald's Egg McMuffin sandwiches are 2 for $3.
Mm, that is good. It's the one breakfast sandwich that started it all. I like tradition. I like knowing some things never change.
Actually, McDonald's just introduced the Egg White Delight McMuffin. Grilled egg whites and white cheddar cheese, also 2 for $3.
I like that too.
I thought you were a traditionalist.
In a mix it up, try new things sort of way.
Egg McMuffin or Egg White Delight McMuffin sandwiches, now 2 for $3. More good mornings to love. Prices and participation may vary. Price of individual item posted on menu board. Limited time offer.
Penny for your thoughts?
I think you should keep your penny and head to Mickey D's.
Big news?
Literally. Right now, you could get a Trip Total Media newspaper for a penny.
Every day at McDonald's, you can grab a Trip Total Media newspaper for 25 cents and a buck on Sundays. And now we're really making headlines. May 1st through 31st, buy any breakfast extra value meal, including the new Egg White Delight McMuffin, and your Trip Total Media newspaper is just a penny. More news you love to hear from McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Price of required purchase posted on menu board. Limited time only while supplies last.
Careful evaluation of knee pain can result in resolution of the pain without surgery. Dr. Bill Post of Mountaineer Orthopedic Specialists explains.
Knee pain is a very common problem. Very often it's a problem where there is a strength and flexibility imbalance, sometimes as a result of overuse, that leads to a situation that, once properly diagnosed, very amenable to response to physical therapy, to an exercise program, sometimes augmented by use of medication.
Mountaineer Orthopedic Specialist, just down from the Chestnut Ridge Church.
Suffering from allergy congestion? Allegra D decongests. Allegra D depressurizes so you can breathe. Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant that gives you 24 hours of congestion-free breathing. It even reduces swelling that can cause congestion and pressure. Allegra D, defense against allergy congestion.
Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Starts working in 1 hour. Applies to first dose only. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Goldsmith can't guarantee 50% fewer strokes your next time out, but at their anniversary event, you can save as much as 50% on the best gear in the game. With deals on tailor-made rocket balls, FootJoy shoes, Callaway balls, and plenty more, Goldsmith's anniversary event is your source for the latest gear at the guaranteed lowest price. Because saving power is the goal, but huge savings are guaranteed. Get to Goldsmith today and save up to 50% on your best game yet, because these deals won't last long.
This is Morgantown AM on WAJR. Take us with you on the go. Get the WAJR app for your smartphone for free at WAJR.com or in your device store. We're streaming live to your app and at WAJR.com. Now, back to Kay and Jim on the voice of Morgantown, WAJR.
Jim Stallings, along with guest-turned-co-host Jamie Summerlin. We talked about how he's from Braxton County. Well, our next author is also a West Virginian. He graduated from Bridgeport High School in 2002, and his name is Mike Martin. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, your book is called The End Games. This is fiction?
Yes, very much so.
Okay. What got you involved in writing? Talent you've had?
Well, I've been a book lover since before I could read. Some of my earliest and favorite memories are of my mom reading Berenstain Bear books to me when I was a kid. And the writer who really made me want to become a writer was R.L. Stine, who wrote the Goosebumps books in the 1990s.
Very popular.
Yes.
Even I've heard of those.
Sure.
All right, so you decided that you wanted to have a book but intertwine West Virginia into it.
Right.
Did you have a specific goal about how you wanted to portray West Virginia?
I've always felt like West Virginia has a deep sense of the supernatural. And so when I wrote The End Games, which is about a zombie apocalypse in West Virginia, I wanted to explore that feeling in the context of a really exciting action-driven story. When I was a kid, I read books like Telltale Lilac Bush, Coffin Hollow, about West Virginia folklore. So that was part of it. But I think the bigger reason was I really wanted to portray West Virginia in a more positive and I think a truer way. A lot of times, national media portrayals of West Virginia are about tragedies or hurtful stereotypes, and I really wanted to tell a story that showed West Virginia in what I think is all its complexity and its beauty.
Did you want to talk to Jamie about the Braxton County Monster? Jamie, did you want to...
Have you ever met him?
I've not met him, no. Oh. The Flatwoods Monster is it's another form of folklore from our...
There's a Mothman connection there, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's way before my time, though, Jim. So. Yeah.
All right. Now, I need to ask you, Mike. It seems in the last 5 years specifically, this whole zombie thing has really become popular on television and books and probably comic books and graphic novels. What is the fascination that everybody has, do you think, in zombie and a zombie apocalypse?
Well, I think monsters tend to come in cycles in pop culture. You had Anne Rice, for instance, in the late 80s, early 90s, who had vampires, and about 5 years ago, Twilight really started taking off. Zombies, I think, are having their heyday for a couple reasons. I can just speak for myself. I think that zombie stories inherently ask big questions. I think that they ask questions about the nature of the self, because zombies were once people. I think that they ask questions about even God and faith, because there's a certain parallel between a zombie and the New Testament prophecies about the rising of the dead. And also, I think zombies are just fun. I mean, I really like brainstorming about the inevitable zombie apocalypse and how I'm going to survive.
Well, certainly movie makeup artists have been kept busy getting people into their zombie states. So tell us about the End Games. What's the story about?
Well, it's about two brothers, ages 17 and 5, surviving a zombie apocalypse in the coal towns and capital of West Virginia.
So are they fictional coal towns?
Yes, they are. The main one is called Coal Mount, and I did some research just to make absolutely sure there is no real Coal Mount in West Virginia. I believe there's one in Kentucky, but I don't know much about it.
Now, it seems that this is being marketed towards young adults, because
right.
It seems that young adults are the ones that are really interested in the zombies.
Yeah.
Is that kind of why you're marketing it that way?
Well,
you hope everybody reads it, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, some of the early reviews have mentioned that it's really a book that will appeal to a wide spectrum of readers. I think that that's because it does acknowledge some of those bigger questions that zombie novels tend to ask.
Some of the reviews, I think, are really interesting. Booklist starred their review of your book, "The plot rockets forth like a single exhaled breath." Let me just think about that a second. The plot rockets forth like a single exhaled breath. Yes, very exciting book they write. Publishers Weekly, Martin covers zombies, conspiracies, and post-apocalyptic romance with style in this exciting debut novel. We'll keep teens hooked. Post-apocalyptic romance. I have a vision in my head of what that is. How would you describe a post-apocalyptic romance?
Lovers in dangerous times.
Because you never know who's looking in the window. I mean, what is the intent of zombies? Do they want to kill us and, like, bring them into their fold?
I think so, yeah.
Are there strength in zombie numbers?
Yes, definitely. And what's funny about zombies is that I think that one of the main things that separates human from zombies in zombie stories is that we have the power to make choices. And they have the power of never having to rest and all these things. So it's kind of this brains versus brawn aspect of zombie stories sometimes.
I wanted you two to talk about the process of developing a book, Jamie. I mean, you had help. Did you write down things and hand them to somebody and say, here, get the West Virginia hick out of me and write this?
No, I mean, a lot of it, you know, was penned by me. We had some interviews that were done, you know, to fill in some gaps and things. My wife, you know, contributed quite a bit. I tell everybody it was almost as exhausting writing the book as it was running. I mean,
yeah.
it is it truly is a labor of love, but it's something that, you know, can take a lot out of you because you've got to, you know, your mind's always going. And there are days, you know, I tell people that some days I would sit down and I couldn't get a sentence out. And then there were days where I would sit down for 12 or 14 hours and knock out 30 or 40 pages.
Did Tiffany take notes along the way, or did anybody write stuff down?
Yeah, we journaled the whole way.
Because that's the difference between nonfiction and fiction here.
Right. Right. Yeah, we had true personal stories, you know, all the way through it, and statistics and all that that we shared. So we had to relive it. I mean, you know, with that book, you know, for the Endgames, fortunately, we're not living that right now. At least I hope not. But, you know, it's that was going back through that again was I mean, almost traumatic at some point.
And, Mike, do you just have an active imagination?
Overactive, probably.
Overactive?
Yeah.
I mean, you developed your ideas. I mean, you didn't have any help. This is all you, right?
Yeah, it was totally written by myself. I had a lot of mentors, and I have a great editor and agent. I got the idea for the Endgames because I was visiting the Monroeville Mall in just outside of Pittsburgh, which is where they filmed the original version of Dawn of the Dead. And I was there with my little brother, who is about 10 years younger than me, and I thought, wouldn't it be neat if there was a zombie story about two brothers separated by about 10 years in age trying to survive a zombie apocalypse in my home state? And that was really the genesis of the Endgames.
I think it's really cool because, you know, for us, we got to see the journey that we did last year through not only my eyes but through my children's eyes as well. So that experience, I'm sure, you know, is probably much different between the two brothers in the book.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You ever I had a chance to meet George Romero, the guy behind the Dead movies, because he's based out of Pittsburgh, obviously, and that's why the Monroeville Mall was involved in that. So that must have been pretty exciting for you. You got the idea at the Monroeville Mall.
Yes, I did.
You were up there shopping for some shoes or something and thought, you know what, this place looks familiar to me.
We actually went up there. We made a pilgrimage just to go there because we both were zombie fanatics in 2008 when we went, still are. But that particular trip was kind of fateful.
The zombie genre, the monster genre, is it different from horror?
I've always considered the Endgames a psychological thriller that takes place in a zombie world. It's so hard to parse the difference between thriller and horror sometimes. But I think, for me, the big difference is the intent of the story to really scare people, or is it to give them an adrenaline rush? And although there are very scary moments in the Endgames, and I'm proud of those moments, mostly I'm proud that it's so action-packed and early readers have said very exciting.
How do you kill a being that's already dead?
Aim for the head.
So you really got to get their head separated from the body, or just pretty much get rid of the head?
Yes, and most zombies...
It's like a chicken.
Exactly.
Do they still kick when their heads are off?
Not that I've seen. But in most zombie mythology, if you take out the brain, they're gone.
Okay. Because obviously that hasn't decomposed in the ground or anything like
right.
that. Yeah. Gotten all that, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm there, man. I'm excited to read it.
Did you see any zombies when you were running across the country?
I did not, but I felt like one a few times.
I bet you did. Especially in the heat and the humidity, you probably felt a little zombie-like yourself.
Yep.
All right, so HarperCollins is your publisher. Isn't that a big deal?
Yeah, they're one of the big five publishers in the world.
I mean, what, did you hand them a manuscript, or is that what you do, and they look it over, and you get the call, or you get the letter saying you've been accepted by HarperCollins?
Most of the time now in publishing, you really have to go through an agent. So I sent out some, they're called query letters, basically pitch letters to agents. Sent those out on a Saturday night. I had multiple offers of representation on Monday morning. It was very unusual. And then about a month later, HarperCollins made an offer to publish the book.
Wow. And what does that mean for you as far as your career? Does that mean you're on the map now? You can lay back and do nothing?
I don't know. I've got a book due on July 1st. So.
Oh, so now you have to produce.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's opened a lot of doors, not just in publishing, although that's been really thrilling, but also in a way I didn't expect in Hollywood. I started in filmmaking. I have a degree in filmmaking from the University of North Carolina, and it's been really wonderful to be able to revisit those particular writing skills, and I'd love to get back into screenwriting soon.
That sounds good. A good friend of mine teaches up in Manassas at a film school.
Oh, wow.
Bob Tinnell, you heard of Robert Tinnell or Bob Tinnell? Anyway, he's a graphic novelist and also a filmmaker. I'll hook you up with him.
Excellent. Thank you.
We could do a screenplay of my book, and Jim could portray me.
Yeah, I should. I might lose about 150 pounds or something
just a thought,
like that.
Just
that's
a thought.
That's a good idea. All right, so your book is now available everywhere?
Yes, and we'll have a book signing at the Meadowbrook Mall at the Books A Million on Saturday at 1 p.m., but it's now, starting tomorrow, the book will be available everywhere.
What time's your book signing?
Mine's Saturday at 4 here in Morgantown, so you can go from one right to the other. So,
yeah. So this the next book, you want to tip us into what you're writing now? Is this a sequel?
It's not a sequel, and it doesn't have any zombie creatures in it. And we're kind of keeping the plot a secret at the moment, but I can say that it takes place in West Virginia, like the Endgames. It's got scares, humor, love, and teenagers saving the world, and it'll be out in the fall of 2014.
You know what would be a good plot line for you in the future is Bridgeport versus Morgantown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's been some animosity there recently. Maybe we can get the two zombies from each city to. Yes, Jamie?
What I love, you know, hearing about this, I think, you know, one of the things that we really try to portray for both of our journeys, I think, is really cool. Doing what we could to put West Virginia in a very positive light. You know, I think that's great that you really tried to capture that because I think it's something that we absolutely need.
And, yeah, thank goodness because we're tired of getting stepped on all
absolutely.
The time. And
absolutely.
It's like, oh, the newest rankings came out and West Virginia ranks number 49. You know, if it wasn't for Mississippi, we'd always be number 50,
sure.
It seems. But, yeah, we're always looking for a positive aspect and we're always looking for that culture. That West Virginia culture, I think. And we're going to find that in the End Games, you think?
I think so.
All right. And again, that's published by HarperCollins, and it's called The End Games, available wherever you buy books, online or in your favorite bookstore. So I want to thank you, Mike, and good luck to you.
Thank you
and
very
look
much.
Forward to your next book. Jamie Summerlin, your book is called Freedom Run, and it's available. You have a book signing coming up this Saturday.
Barnes & Noble at the Town Center in Granville, and it'll be available in Barnes & Noble's nationally, and you can get it online at freedomrunusa.com.
Otherwise, we can run down to PuroClean and see you.
Sure. I carry some with me all the time. Happy to sign one and put it your way.
He keeps PuroClean in his truck.
That's
so
it.
I don't even know if you have a truck.
Well, I got the little car, you know, cruise around in the marketing
exactly.
car.
So. All right. Thank you both. West Virginia authors in on the program today. Stay tuned for Metro News Talk Line. Shauna Johnson hosting for Hoppy today here on 1440 WAJR.
The new printer at Morgantown Printing and Binding that they use to make signs is big.
Yes. Yes, it is, Jim.
How big and wide?